Sea of Red, it's time for another Fireside Chat, the official podcast of Flames fans. It's go time.
Well, we are in the thick of things finally for the NHL season, and I'm Dan, as always, alongside Matt. I might sound a little bit different this week. I'm actually not in Calgary in my studio. I'm in BC, and Matt, I decided since the Canucks seem to have the Oilers' kryptonite, I've traveled to BC so I can see what I can learn from the Canucks to take back for the outdoor game this week.
Well, you see, the Winnipeg Jets gave us a bit of a hand. They already took out McDavid for the next week, so don't have to worry about him.
You know that I'm going to charge this this whole trip to the show. It's a scouting trip.
Yes.
So, how are you doing, Matt?
Oh, pretty good. The Flames, not so much this week. They had a very difficult road trip, but, you know, that's to be expected with a new coach. Only one day of practice before you could go out on the road. And then, like, five games in a week. It's hard to get all your ducks in a row when that happens.
Well, before we jump into those games, I just want to take a quick second to acknowledge there's a few people who mentioned that last week's podcast didn't come out on Monday as usual. They saw it on their podcast reader, but there was no actual audio. That's been corrected. You should have been able to see it on Wednesday. We apologize for that. Just a technological glitch, but I've got it all sorted out now. I've wrangled the tech demons, and you can listen to that, and this week's show will be fine. So let's jump into the week, shall we, man?
Yep.
The Calgary Flames started the week in Washington, taking on Alex Ovechkin, and I would say more than even Ovechkin, taking on Matthew Phillips and company. Obviously, Matthew Phillips gets his first NHL goal, and the Capitals end up beating the Flames 3-2. We talked about Phillips last week. You got to be happy for the kid, but not the result we're looking for.
No, and frankly, Washington is not a very good team anymore. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if they were in the bottom 5-10 in the standings at the end of the year. So walking away with only a single point in the shootout is not the ideal result against a bad team. But
like, the Flames were up by 2 when Phillips scored, and I thought, okay, that's fun. The kid got his goal against the Flames. Wonderful. Let's finish this off. And then it's like, guys, hello. What's everybody doing?
Yeah. And the second goal, yeah, that was not a very good goal, even though it was deflected on the way to Markstrom, but things like that happen, and, you know, there was no real response from the team to get the lead back, and it, you know, frankly, it was a good thing that they managed to get a point, but, you know, it, just a disappointing effort, especially to set off this week of four big games where, you know, like, all of the teams that were, that the Flames faced this week were all teams that missed the playoffs last year. And, you know, they did not do well.
It's true. Very true. And then the next game was against, like you said, another team who missed the playoffs. Calgary was able to figure out how to put their game together and end up winning 4-3 against the Buffalo Sabres. Adam Rzeczka gets the game winner here. We also get a goal from Walker Dewar, his first of the year, for a 4-3 win in Buffalo.
This game was a game where, if the two goaltenders were playing decently, the score is probably going 0-0 into overtime. It was not a stellar performance for either Devon Levi or Dan Vladar.
And Vladar's first start of the season, too.
Yeah, it was just one of those where our goalie made fewer mistakes than theirs did, and that's pretty much how it is. Like, it, you know, neither, none of the seven goals, except for the Tage Thompson goal on the power play, that was the only one that looked like an actually decent scoring chance. The rest of them were like, oh, and they scored. Cool. you know, they were, none of them were, you know, like the prototypical, like, good finish, good passing play culminating in the tap in. It was like, okay, that puck went in. Sure.
And I think this game really showed that Buffalo is a team that's probably going to be in that upper, let's call it upper half of the Eastern Conference this year.
Yeah, frankly, Buffalo's probably going to be between 6-10 this year, because there are so many teams that are kind of on that bubble in the Eastern Conference, because there are just so many good teams in the East. But where they end up, it'll be up to their goaltending, I think, mostly, because their defense and forward group are pretty good.
And then the next night, the Flames play their first back-to-back of the year in Columbus, taking on Johnny Gaudreau and company. If we remember last year when the Flames were in Columbus, they didn't do well. And Daryl made some insinuations of some kind about the boys going to Johnny's house or, you know, something like that. Maybe it happened again because I don't think they looked all that ready here either in a 3-1 loss to the Blue Jackets. We'll talk about the hit a little bit later, but anything else about the game you want to chat about?
No, it was the standard Flames game against a mediocre backup goaltender where they make him look like a Vezina candidate. And yeah.
You know, like Merliskins is a good goaltender, right? Like if they were facing Merliskins, I could see that. Spencer Martin, like you said, marginal goaltender. When I saw he was in net and we had our starter in because we played with our first night, I thought this should go the Flames' way.
Yeah. And, you know, to credit Markstrom, he played well. Like some of the saves he made in this game, especially the one on Fantilli, were great. And, you know, the Flames should have won based on the goaltending. There's just no finish amongst the Flames forwards, and yeah, another 2 points down the drain.
And then we can talk about the hit here, as everyone's probably seen by the time you listen to this. If not, you can go find it on YouTube or TikTok, wherever you find your NHL footage. Rasmus Anderson laid a big hit on Patrick Laine and has been issued a 4-game suspension. The Calgary Flames and the NHLPA will be appealing that, and we should know more Monday morning as to what happens there. Matt, when I watched it, it didn't look like a 4-game suspension to me. How about you?
If this was a hit that happened in the first period, probably a 5-minute major in a game misconduct and maybe a fine. I've seen so many hits that were worse than that get maybe a game or two.
Yeah, and yes, it was charging. I'll admit it was charging.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And how would you say, I can understand where Anderson's rationale for delivering the hit was, you know, because Laine was trying to basically dunk on the Flames after the game was basically already over. And, you know, and to be fair to Anderson, if Laine had not leaned back in anticipation of the hit, you could see that, like, Anderson's arm was down until he leaned, and then he kind of, like, fell into Laine a bit. And, you know, it should have been a 5-minute major in a game misconduct. And I was expecting a game or two, maybe outside 3, because Anderson has no reputation of doing this or a track record of suspensions. But, like, a 4-game suspension just seemed beyond the pale for the hit entirely. It's just unfortunate because...
And I could see if Laine was seriously hurt or was out. As far as I can tell, he's not hurt or out. Nothing's been announced there. Like, if the player was out, sure, I can kind of see, you know, and I even saw some chatter on Twitter saying, you know, if the player is out, you should be suspended as long as the player is out and things like that. But everybody got up. Everybody's going to play the next game. Like, 4 games seems a little steep.
Yeah. Like, I saw somebody post a hit that Jacob Trouba hit through on Timo Meier in the playoffs last year. And, you know, like, he absolutely hammered him right in the face. And there wasn't even a penalty called. And, you know, like, if you're wanting headshots out of the game, sure. But, like, that play was also a borderline charge with a hit directly to the head. Like, yeah. That's why I can see, like, a game or two, sure. But, you know, you have other players that do that. Like, you even look back to when the Flames played the Rangers last year and Trouba's hit on Kadri. That was as bad as the Andersons' hit against Laine. And yet, Trouba didn't even receive a fine, nothing after that. And, you know, it's just the inconsistency from the NHL's department is the problem. And, like, to be fair, if you're wanting to get headshots out of the game, 4 games is entirely appropriate. But make it consistent where everybody's getting that penalty.
Well, and that's something that the NHL's been accused of for years, right? Is that they hand out bigger penalties to those that go after star players than those that don't. And I think we could agree that Patrick Laine and Timo Meier probably aren't on the same level in terms of the league's view. So, yeah, just be consistent. Mm-hmm. And make it known. If this happens, this will be the consequence.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter who you are or who you hit. You're going to get a 3 or 4 game suspension if you target the person's head. Which then you know you'll help cut that kind of hit out. But you know, the just up and down thing is what I don't agree with. Him getting suspended, yeah, sure, entirely.
So the way that this is going to work now is the NHLPA will have a hearing with the league. The Flames have somebody there. The league will have somebody there. They will both present their arguments, which will go to Bettman, and Bettman makes a final decision. Because it's less than six games, Bettman's decision is final. There's no way to appeal it. How do you think this one's going to go?
Probably he will serve the full four.
You think so?
Yep. I'd be shocked if they reduced it.
As a Flames fan, it scares me because we're already short on the defensive side, and I really don't want him out for four. And I think, and we'll talk about the next game in a minute, I think we really felt Rasmus Anderson not being there in the Detroit game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So let's get to that one. The Calgary Flames, as we record this on October 22nd, just finished a game with the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit and lost 6-2. And this was... this was not the score I was expecting from this one, Matt.
Frankly, I kind of was. Detroit has a fast team, and the Flames' defense without Anderson is not very good. So them giving up a ton of chances and goals, I'm not exactly surprised.
Yeah, I just wasn't, I don't know, like it seemed as though, and it's something that we've talked about before, but it seemed like the Flames got down, and they were down by two, and they came back, and it's like, okay, you know, there's a bit of a fighting chance, and even when it was, you know, 4-2, they actually got some goals, and it's like, okay, they've drawn within striking distance, but near the end, it just looked like things unraveled, and I think we've seen that a few times this week.
Yeah, and, well, how do you say that? The main problem that the Flames as a group have is they just do not have a lot of finishers on the team. And, like, the two guys with the best shots on the team are Andrew Mangiapane and Matthew Coronato, with Elias Lindholm being in that same, close to the same group. And none of those guys you would think of as your, you know, leading goal scorer guys, you know, like they're all decent secondary scoring threats, and that unfortunately is where the Flames are running into trouble against all the teams that they've played thus far, is that they're not getting enough finishing from everybody else that's not those three guys, because, you know, they just don't have the weapons to do so.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, and I think, you know, as this season's progressing, I'm staying with my thoughts. I think that if the Flames are successful this year, it's going to be because of a, you know, sort of a collective. One or two guys are not going to go out there and score all the points for the Flames this year. They're going to need 12 forwards and 6 defensemen to all be firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, and realistically, you know, if that doesn't turn out, like, that's not the worst-case scenario either, because...
You've talked a lot about this. We won't go down that road again. But.
Well, how would you say, most of the time when you're looking for a dynamic scorer, you know, you need to draft that guy. So either which way, you know, there is a solution for the problem. It's just how it unfolds and which makes more sense at which time.
We'll go further down that road later in the season once we start to figure out who these guys are.
Oh, for sure.
So as of right now, the Calgary Flames sit 10th in the West, 4th in the Pacific Division. They've played 6 games. They're 2-3-1, so 2 wins, 3 losses, 1 overtime loss for 5 total points. The teams that are above us are LA tied for 5 points, Vancouver at 6, the Golden Knights at 12, and of course, Matt, my favorite part, the Oilers below us at 3.
Yep. Well, and especially speaking of the Oilers, a number of years ago, you and I were talking about how it was a dumb idea to play McDavid and Draisaitl for 28 minutes a night every night. Those chickens are coming home to roost. McDavid's out
For those that don't know, in the Winnipeg game, McDavid got injured. And, you know, Matt, I've been saying for years as well, not only playing them together, but McDavid's getting older. I mean, he's, you know, mid-20s now. And you might go, mid-20s, not old. Everybody... especially big players, have a significant injury at some point. The older you get, the more susceptible you are. We all remember Crosby's concussion and things like that. You know, McDavid's finally, I think, I hate to say this, but getting maybe what's due.
Yeah. Well, especially
he's been very healthy.
Well, especially when you're playing that many minutes, like, it just natural wear and tear, you're going to be burning out more of your body just doing the normal things. And where a rather innocuous hit by Josh Morrissey ended up knocking him out of the game, and, you know, now it's looking like 2 weeks or so that he'll miss. And, like, frankly, the Oilers do not have the depth or the talent to be able to eat that for an extended period of time. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare over the next couple of weeks.
For sure, yeah. And, I mean, that, we'll talk about it more when we preview next week, but that could be very good for us come, you know, the Heritage Classic on the weekend. So a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. Let's go this way first. The Calgary Flames have had a couple games. You know, the Washington one comes to mind, and even a few before this week, where they're getting up, they're getting the lead, and then they're somehow blowing it or letting it go. And this is not a new thing for the Calgary Flames. This is something we've seen, you know, as they say in Beauty and the Beast, a tale as old as time. It's frustrating to still be seeing, or at least for me, to still be seeing the same behaviors. Like, we're being told there's a new team, they've got a new system, they got new structure. And yet, you know, when you're getting a 2-goal lead and you're blowing that, that doesn't tell me that a lot has changed here.
No, and that's both talent.
And it happens to everybody, but yeah. we're 6 games in, and I'd say it's happened 3 games already.
Yeah, well, it's both a talent problem and a commitment problem. Like, you see, like, in the game against Detroit, for example, everybody on that team was skating hard all game for Detroit. And they eased up after it was 6-2, because why would you keep pushing at that point? But, you know, like, the Flames, very rarely do they ever have a stretch of time where they're consistently putting forth that effort. We saw that a bit in the Pittsburgh game and a bit in the Washington game in the first period, but it's very few and far between. And, like, when they're not doing that, they're just bad.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I don't know, and maybe we'll get into this another time if we want to really dive into it, but I don't know what needs to change there. Is that personnel? Is that, you know, something between their ears? I don't know why multiple iterations of this same team have been having the same struggles time in and time out.
Well, and that's where, you know, like, how would you say, you kind of have to transition this team. Whether the regardless of the success of the team on the ice or not, you know, like, transitioning players, like how we saw Toffoli leave to get Sharon Govich, but allowing the space for Coronado to play in Toffoli's spot. And, you know, like, we're going to have to see more of that over the next couple of seasons, just filtering out some of the more veteran guys for more of the younger guys. And how they go about that, whether it's just letting people walk as free agents or making trades or whatever the permutation is. Well,
and a lot of the veteran guys are very, you know, are locked up with very big contracts here.
And that's not a bad thing. You know, like, I know a lot of people complain about Kadri and Huberdeau eating so much cap, but realistically, who on the free agent market, A, is worth that, and B, it's not like the Flames have an impending RFA guy who's also worth that much where it's causing a problem. And
not yet, but if you want to go down the rebuild route, you're going to need money soon for some of these guys. And if you've got, you know, 6 years on Kadri, that is going to handcuff you at some point. I think we even saw that when we had, you know, Johnny and, you know, Matthew Tkachuk coming up, that because of some of those long-term deals, it did handcuff them when they needed the money.
Yeah, and, you know, and, like, if the Flames do struggle, just as a hypothetical, you can have a guy or two or three with that kind of a level of play where they're just there eating more of your cap than you'd like until you can eventually trade off that player, but, like, when there's a year or two left on that deal, but it's one of those where, like, if the Flames are going to go that quasi-rebuild route, like, it's not like it's going to be happening overnight anyway, and, like, it's going to take 3 or 4 or 5 seasons even if they're trying to be competitive while rebuilding, to actually be able to transition from like the older guard to the newer guard anyway.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, and I don't know if I want to go down that route today and discuss that, but let's table that for once we know what this team is. Because right I mean, they're fourth in the Pacific. They're, you know, they're not doing terribly six games in, and I think that this team can still turn itself around.
Oh, for sure. Same here. It's just how would you say it, because of like the pent up conversations we've had about Lindholm and Hanifin, and like Hanifin apparently, according to Elliot Friedman, is getting closer to a contract extension. Like all of those things are still kind of churning. Like even though we're now into the season, like it's kind of still trying to figure out exactly where does this team actually go and how do they get there. So it's, you know, like even though it is only six games in, it's still kind of a discussion topic. Even though,
yeah, I don't want to
go too far.
The fantasy GM piece of tearing this team apart until we know what they are.
Oh no, I agree.
But one thing I do want to discuss, Dan Vladar. We've played six games. Vladar has started two of those games. So really, I mean, he started, you know, a third of the games the Flames have played. He has one win, one loss. To me, that's more than I would have expected him to start so far. How about you?
About on par. You know, like I'm expecting him to play about 25 to 30 games this year, which if you break that down, it's about right.
How do you think he's done so far?
Not good. Decidedly not good.
And I think we have to look there too. I mean, this is a guy again who hasn't had a lot of NHL play time. I still think Dan Vladar can be a good goaltender. I think he's sort of like a David Riddick, where we're not sure if he's a starter or a backup. That's got to be seen. But I think Dan Vladar just needs more play time. And I think not being under Daryl Sutter, we're going to see that. And I like that they put him in against Detroit, because that should have been a game that they should have been able to win, in my opinion, with either goalie. And I think you need Vladar to get some more early season starts to really make sure he's ready to go.
Yeah, and you know, with how the schedule for the start of the year is mostly Eastern Conference teams, using Vladar more, where even if you drop the game, it's not the end of the world. Whereas if you're like dropping the Edmonton game, it's a little bit more harmful to you. So.
Yeah, and I think even outside of the Eastern Conference stuff, the Flames have a lot of rest this first month. Like, even if we take a look at, you know, next week or this coming week, you know, the Flames play today on Sunday. They don't play again until Tuesday, and then they play Thursday at home, and then they have two days off in a game, then another 2 days off, you know, and another game, then another 2 days off in another game, another 2 days off in two games, another 2 days off in a game. Like, you know, it's not the every other schedule like we would normally think of. And I think as a head coach, when you see a schedule like that, the temptation is, okay, go with the starter. We can rest him. But my thoughts there would be, you know what, let's play Dan Vladar more. And if we can get, you know, Markstrom 4 or 5 days of rest and still play Vladar, like, you know, we'll talk about this later when we get to our our weekly preview. Flames have two games at home in 5 days. I would probably play Vladar in at least one of those. And if you play him in St. Louis, you can get, you know, a good 4 days of rest for Markstrom.
Yeah, exactly. Because you kind of have to pencil Markstrom in for the outdoor game. So
for sure.
You just kind of have to back your way up from that. And, you know, having him play against the Rangers and the Oilers makes the most sense with Vladar getting the Blues.
Yeah, and even again, if we go into November, you know, I could see him, Vladar, playing either Dallas or Seattle. You know, I could see him playing Nashville. He'll probably play one of the two back-to-backs, Toronto, Ottawa. Then we got Montreal with 2 days and 1 day on the other side. Like, I think that the beginning of the season is primed and set up for, you know, both goalies to get some chance and to get some rest. And I think even early on, if you can get Vladar going, it's really going to help the team down the stretch when Markstrom's going to be tired, when the season's in a clutch, and you know, okay, we know what we have out of both guys. And I think, and I don't want to say they're going to call up Wolf, but I think it also gives them a look at, okay, we've given Markstrom, say, 5 games in the first month or 6 games in the first, call it month, 2 months of the season. Is he the right backup, or is that Wolf's spot?
Yeah, and like if Vladar, say he continues to struggle through the end of November, then I think you make the switch. And especially because Wolf's been playing really well down on the farm.
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily make a switch because I don't think Vladar clears waivers, but I think you make a deal.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like, I meant. I think that's switch, what I think meant, like, by
one
a
to
switch.
The AHL, yeah. One to the NHL. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I, again, everyone who's listened to this podcast for a while knows I'm not one who wants to rush AHL players, especially goaltenders, but I think the Flames have to figure out what Dan Vladar is right now. And, you know, maybe, I mean, there's always goalies, you know, on waivers and stuff like that. And, you know, even if they don't go with, Wolf and they say, hey, we want Wolf in the AHL. Even if you were to get another goalie, either, you know, UFA or waivers, son, and you say, hey, he's a better, cheaper option or as good a cheaper option, and he'll work for the rest of the year. But I think they just need to get Dan Vladar going. I still have great faith in Dan Vladar to be, I don't think, a starter for this team anytime soon, but I still have faith that he can be a good, you know, strong backup 1B type guy.
Yeah, and it's one of those where between how Markstrom and Vladar are playing will kind of tell you, like, what the future is for those two guys. And Markstrom, to start the year, has been excellent in each of his starts. Still gives up the odd bad goal, but I think pretty much every goalie does at some point. And it's one of those where, you know, if Markstrom or Vladar can elevate his game to play on par with Markstrom, then great. If he continues to falter, then, you know, at least the Flames have a viable third option instead of just...
And to be honest, it's not like Dan Vladar has been the only guy in those games that didn't look good.
Oh, no.
You know, we've seen times when the whole team has looked good and the goalies let them down. I think, you know, there's a lot of guys that need to get their season legs under them, and Dan Vladar is just one of many.
Yeah, for sure.
I've also heard fans talking so far, again, six games into an 82-game schedule, about disappointment in Jonathan Huberdeau and, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau not playing well. To me, sort of like the whole team, I'm not worried about him yet. Yes, he's maybe slow getting started. We all love Jerome, who never got started until Christmas time. Are you worried about Huberdeau right now?
Not really. He's always been one of those players where he just kind of looks like he's there, and then all of a sudden you look at the end of the night and he has 5 points or 4 points, and it's like, what? You know, and he's very deceptive, and part of the problem is that he does not really gel on with his line mates, and you saw in the Detroit game that the Flames switched up the lines because him with Mangiapane and Lindholm was not really clicking.
They ended up putting him on a line with Kadri and Dubé.
Yeah, and it's one of those where the Flames need to find people that work well with Huberdeau in whatever formula that it ends up working. It's just, for right now, it's just being tough, right? As we're, you know, six games in.
And, you know, you and I had the debate when we did our sort of season predictions about how many goals or points is Huberdeau good for this year. And I asked, could he be a point-per-game player? Right now, the Flames have played six games. He's got 4 points. Like, to me, that's kind of where I expect him to be. You know, yeah, he could have eight, maybe he could have six. But, you know, you're almost on point for, you know, point per game there. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's got 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points in 6 games. So, could he have more? Sure, but I'm not worried about 4.6 games in.
No, and you have to look at, like, the whole Flames team. Like, it's not like you have some players just lighting it up. Like, it's been...
It's not like Walker Dewar's got 12 points and he's got 4.
No, the whole team is very mediocre offensively to start the season, and it's hard to put huge numbers on the board when the whole team is struggling to even buy a goal, let alone multiple in a game.
For sure. Yeah, it's, you know, it's something where this team needs to, it's like the Musketeers, right? All for one, one for all. In order for them to have success, everybody needs to start doing it. And we are seeing some positive things. You know, I think Mangiapane's looked good so far. I think, you know, Dubé's looked good. There's a number of guys that have. There's nobody I'm really worried about yet. Yes, there's some guys that maybe aren't doing as well as I thought. I don't know about you, but there's nobody really that I'm looking at going, this guy's really gotten a really lousy start here.
Yeah, it's pretty much everybody's within the range of what expectations were, give or take. But no, and you look at the team as a whole, and it going back to last season, like the Flames were pretty much dead last in the NHL in generating high danger scoring chances and medium danger scoring chances, while being one of the elite in the low danger chances. And, you know, like through six games, the Flames are 26th and 26th and 4th in those categories. And it's like, well, gee, you're not getting to any of the dangerous areas to actually shoot the puck. And then you're wondering why you can't score. So it's, and that's a personnel problem. That's not a coaching problem, because the system is trying to feed pucks into those areas. It's just the personnel is not getting with the memo.
If we're having the same discussion every week between now and Christmas, I have worries.
Yeah.
Right now, you know what? Everybody has a bad week. And the way I look at it, I mean, the first game we're, you know, pretty happy with, I think. You know, the second game they lost, I didn't think it was terrible, that Pittsburgh game. And then they've gone on a long road trip. And I think, you know, we often say it's time to go on the road. I just feel like right now it's time to come home and we'll see what they can do.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's hard for teams because, like, on the road, you can't really practice properly. And what's most difficult is a team that has got a new system, you know, new personnel, new, you know, trying to make a new identity, and then not being able to practice for 2 weeks. And, you know, it's tough. And I'm sure that, like, when they get home and are actually able to schedule proper practices again, that things will, you know, they can actually work on the things that have crept up that they're deficient in. But we'll
see.
Assuming
they go to Edmonton the day of the Heritage Classic, which is often how it goes, that gives them 6 days at home and two games. So lots of time on ice if they want it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that Heritage Classic. We won't give our predictions yet, but I have mixed feelings about the outdoor game. The Flames have played two. They're 1-1. We know how the Battle of Alberta has gone the last couple of years. Are you excited about this one?
I'm kind of mildly indifferent. How would you say the outdoor games kind of are getting a little old for me. I'm not like the first one that we were in with the Montreal being here in Calgary. That was a very fun experience to go to, but like
it was new.
Yeah. But like the one in Winnipeg, it's like I watched the game because I, you know, the Flames were playing. But like if it was some generic teams playing outdoors, it'd be like, yeah, and like I don't care. And
yeah, and without the alumni game, without a lot of the festivities. I mean, you remember, you know, the first outdoor game we had the AHL game or the WHL game. Sorry, like without a lot of the festivities, this one doesn't feel as special to me.
No, it's. Like, that was actually one of the most fun parts of the outdoor game was, like, seeing all the alumni playing against each other the day before.
And even if they don't want to do the alumni game outside, and the league has said they don't want to ruin the ice, do it inside. Like, you know, play it on the Oilers' ice. I don't think that game needs to be on the outdoor ice to be fun.
No. It should, how would you say, it should have more of, like, the All-Star game feel to it without being the All-Star game.
And even that, you know, the last time they were here, they played an AHL game in the dome. It wasn't, you know, wasn't on the outdoor ice. It was in the dome, but it was still a lot of fun because it was something we didn't get to see.
Yeah, I agree. And it's
and Edmonton doesn't have their farm team there. Haul them in, bring the Wranglers in. Like, it just feels like, you know, the Canadian one this year has become second rate.
Yeah, exactly. There's no anything except for the outdoor game, which, you know, it is what it is. Like, it's kind of a lousy game to watch on TV, for one.
I'm not a fan of either uniform. Like, I'm not, you know, looking forward to seeing either team in their uniform. To me, and I think you kind of said
to me, the Flames jersey actually looks decent compared to the Oilers jersey. Like, that is a monstrosity.
Compared to the Oilers jersey, but even then, I'm not a fan of the... I mean, the Flames definitely have the better of the two.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of feels like the outdoor gimmick is wearing off. If they want to do something where every team played outdoors once a year or something, fine. But it just feels like the specialness of the outdoor game is wearing off. And while I think it's cool, and I might feel different if it was in Calgary, but While it feels cool, I was excited when it was first announced. As we've sort of seen it roll out, I'm becoming less and less excited. To me, it just feels like another game.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you
just
know,
with
I mean,
special jerseys, which... Okay.
Special jerseys, Mark Strom have a toque on. Like, we kind of know those gimmicks already, right? Like, the goalies will wear a toque and that sort of thing. Like, it's, I don't know, it just feels like there's a script for these games already.
Mm.
You know, usually the coaches are wearing, like, a bomber jacket or a, you know, like a Letterman jacket. Remember that year they all wore, like, pork pie hats? Like, I don't know, it just, it doesn't feel as special as it used to.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, Matt, anything else from this week that you want to cover about the Flames?
Not really. It was just a hard week, and you could see the team struggling quite a large amount, and them just not really being on the same page with each other, which, you know, when you only have a couple days of practice before the season starts, it's, you know, like it's hard to get all your ducks in a row early. And that's why I was kind of, like last week, I was kind of saying, alluding to the, like expecting a bad start for this team. And it just because of the fact that they're on the road and, you know, learning a new system and like those things just always tend to hit a team that's changing things
up. Not only
up.
On the road in the East, like, you know, even if you look at their schedule, they went from Buffalo to, you know, Ohio in one night. That's not an easy trip to do in the middle of the night to get your sleep in there. Like, you know, they've been moving a lot.
Yeah, I agree. And it's hard when, you know, you're trying to basically get over what happened last season, find yourself a new identity in a new system where the way you make passes and like how the offensive system's set up and how the defensive system's set up are completely different, and yet do this without practice and, you know, like five games in like 8 days, and, you know, okay, yeah,
and
get all that
done.
And
saying all this, every game I've seen things, I think, okay, there's something here. They can
work
on this. They can tweak this. Like, there hasn't been a game yet that's been a real stinker. Even the Detroit game, I looked at it and said, there's room for improvement here.
Yeah. It's,
and there's good things to take away from it.
Mm-hmm. It's, there hasn't been one where their head's been shoveled in, like the Vancouver game last year where they lost like 7-0.
Or the Vancouver Oilers game, which is why I'm in BC to study, to find out what secrets I can take back. You know, like that, the Oilers had no hope.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, like, especially as they get home for the next little stretch, to see, like, once they can actually practice, how the various players respond to all of the things.
And even just sleeping in your own bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Matt, last week we didn't do well with our predictions. I thought that the Flames would win Washington, Buffalo, Detroit, and lose Columbus. You thought they'd win Washington, Detroit, lose Columbus, Buffalo. They only won against Buffalo, so neither of us did well there.
No.
I got my predictions for this week, but are you ready to make yours?
Sure.
Before we go there, let's just run through the schedule. The Flames, as we mentioned, are back home. They have a day off Monday, and then they'll play Tuesday, the 24th, in the Sal Dome. Weird start time, 7:45. I can't remember the last time I saw a 7. We've seen like 7:30 starts, but I can never remember 7:45 p.m. start Mountain, and that'll be in the Dome on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, they play the St. Louis Blues, 7 p.m. start time, Mountain time. They get Friday, Saturday off, and then they'll make a quick road trip up to Edmonton for the Heritage Classic on Sunday, and we'll record after that Heritage Classic game. So why don't I give you my thoughts first on this one, Matt?
Go right ahead.
I feel like I'm channeling you this week. I think the Flames beat the Oilers. They lose to New York and St. Louis.
Okay. I was actually going to go in the exact opposite direction. I think they'll beat the Rangers and the Blues and lose to the Oilers.
Wow, you're the optimistic one this week.
Yep.
Like, to me, this Oilers game, while not a must-win on the schedule at this point, feels like you've got to start the Battle of Alberta off strong.
Yeah. Frankly, like, it's getting into Anaheim Ducks territory in the Honda Center where, you know, like, they're not going to have McDavid. Like, they should win that game. But you just know that, like, Draisaitl will end up getting, like, 3 goals and Hyman will get 2 just because, of course. or something stupid like
and
that.
You know, unlike the Honda Center, though, it's not just in Edmonton's building. Like, they can't seem to beat them in our building either.
No.
So I'm hoping that with McDavid out, that's why I said the Flames will win that one. And we don't even know how long McDavid's out for, but assuming he's out, I think the Flames will win that. But I think you're going to spend the week getting hyped up for that one. And I think that, especially with the 2 days rest, I don't know what Edmonton's schedule looks like, but I think especially the 2 days rest and a short trip to Edmonton. Like, it's not like, you know, they've got to travel across the country. I think the Flames can be good and ready for this one. Let's just say if the Flames lose this, I think it'll be on their own merits.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you can't blame scheduling, you can't blame travel, you can't blame, you know, a lot of those things. I think Rasmus Anderson will probably be back by then. That's just my hunch. But that could play a big factor in it as well.
I do have one question for you. Do you see, like, now that they're back in Calgary after tonight's game, do you expect them to make a recall for either Soloviev or Poirier?
I don't know if they do it tonight. I think they'll wait until the hearing tomorrow, because if Raz comes back, I don't think so. I think if you're going to pull a guy up, I would probably pull up Soloviev just because he had the better training camp and probably deserves the shot a little bit more. But I don't think so for the home games. I think they'll run with who they've got for the home games, unless there's another injury. I could see them taking Soloviev to Edmonton, though. And then, you know, I think part of the benefit of having the farm team here is you don't need to pull guys up. I also don't know when the Wranglers play. Like, if the Wranglers don't play till the weekend, sure, pull a guy up, because you're not taking them out of the AHL lineup, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of things that go in there, but if it's one of those two, I think it's Soloviev. Who do you think it is?
I might actually defer to Poirier, just because of his very hot offensive start. He has 7 points in 4 games thus far, and actually leads the AHL in scoring.
Wow. Yeah, then maybe he comes up, or, you know what, maybe, I don't know, do you bring them both up and bench an NHLer? I don't think so, but I think if nothing else, if you're Gilbert and Osterley, now's your chance to really prove why you should stay in the lineup.
Yeah. And you hopefully...
And I think for both those guys, it's an opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. And it's one of those where it'll be up to those guys to, you know, keep a spot as, like, the number 7 or the number 6 even.
Well, that's it. We have a 6 spot open, right? So I think one of those guys can prove why they're better than the other. So, Matt, I think that's probably about it for this week.
Yep. And a very short week in terms of content, mostly because, like, all the games kind of felt similar, even though the results weren't always the same. And just a lot of questions yet to be answered about who is this iteration of the Flames.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, I think, as we talked about, this week's going to be an interesting one to watch, because I think we'll get a better sense of that moving forward.
Yeah, because, like, if we're talking about, like, the exact same things next week, then that kind of gives you some answers in and of itself.
Well, let's see how things go, Matt, and I look forward to talking to you after the Heritage Classic.
And as always, go Flames, go.
Fireside Chat is hosted by Dan Stevenson, co-hosted by Matt DeBorg. This episode produced and edited by Peter Marino. Fireside Chat is licensed under Creative Commons license. For full license details, visit firesidechat.ca.